all of this spiritual work, all of it, whether it's simple and straightforward or complicated and filled with nuance and all kinds of specialness to it, all of this spiritual work is performed in and by ego. The desire for freedom arises in ego. The picking and choosing, the discriminatory judgments that are made about what's true and what's not true and how do I get where I want to go and so forth, these things all occur in ego. The desire to be true occurs in ego. The desire to be free from the false belief that I am ego occurs in ego. The whole world, the whole universe is ego. This is really obvious if you look at it for just a moment. The entirety of the content of consciousness, human consciousness, is ego. So that in ego, as in reality, there's nothing separate. There is no separate entities within ego. It's all ego. It's all thought. It's all mind. Mind is its content. The feeling that I am lost, that I need something I can't have, that is a sensational experience and an explanation for it that occur in ego. The feeling that I have to do good, ego. The deep, deep desire to know the truth is ego. Ego really just means I. That's what it means. It means I. Brahmana spoke of ego as the I thought, which he used the I thought to distinguish it from reality, which he called I. I've never quite got the point of that, but I just pass it on to you that that's what he called it. Maybe he meant the primal I or something of that nature. Maybe that's what's signified in the language that he spoke by this I business. That would be my guess. Really, fundamentally, the one that believes itself to be ego is ego. Really. The one who finds the truth of its nature is ego. There is nothing to be seen anywhere, anytime, any place apart from ego. And there is no enemy more thoroughly reviled and hated and sought to be stomped out than ego. Ego seems to be the center of our lives, the center of everything, the Alpha and Omega. It's what we love. It's what we hate. It's what we think we are. It's what we know we're not. It's what we wish we weren't. It is my continuous experience and the experience reported by many others that this ego, this I thought, is not continuous, although we feel it to be so. We have this sense that there's a continuous line of existence in this me that is the subject of all this and the seeker after freedom and so forth. We have the feeling that it has been continuously, you know, it goes to sleep at night, wakes up in the morning, but it's still the same thing. But it is the experience of many that this itself is a lie, that it's not true, that ego, the I thought, in fact, continuously arises, proliferates, ramifies, vanishes, and then reemerges freshly, many times during the day, many, many times. One of the things that Ramana, one of the most steadfast instructions and suggestions that Ramana made to people, and one that, so far as I can tell, receives very little commentary, is his earnest plea that we find ego, that we really find ego. In fact, he put it so weirdly as to say we should find ego and get a hold of it by the throat. Don't let go. See what it is. Hold it. And I suspect that the reason that that aspect of his teaching is so little commented upon is because it is so incomprehensible to the spiritual understanding, which in which ego is seen to be inexistent, an illusion, a delusion, and so forth, a mistake. There's a lot of commentary about the other line of Ramana's teachings, which have to do with meeting the actual silent reality of what you are, but very little about this, although at least as much as of his utterance is given over to the earnest suggestion that we find ego and find out what it is, as it is to the speaking and utterance about silence and stillness and the unmoving reality of being. I think that has to be just because it's incomprehensible to spiritual understanding, that this inexistent entity, this phenomenon that has no substance and is unreal, should be the object of the investigation as such a one as Ramana Maharshi. But really, when you think about it, forgive the word think about it, pardon me for saying that, but really when you think about it, and by the way, let me say that I think that the facility of rational thought is something that you should absolutely use in your spiritual investigation. That it's absurd to abandon the skill that you have in being able to discern what seems to make sense and what doesn't seem to make sense, and discard the irrational in favor of that which is, well, sensible. So that's another heresy of mine. And really, when you think about it, when you bring your rational facility to bear on the issue, if it is true, as we have been saying, that the only problem, the sole problem that gives rise to everything that is hateful and vicious in human society is a false belief about what I am, which is what they all say, and that the only solution to that problem is to know the truth, then clearly to know the truth about this that I believe myself to be should be as effective in dispelling my foolhardy idea that it is me as finding the truth of what I am. Maybe even more so, because what I believe myself to be is much more always in the way. That's what we've been talking about a lot today. Always in the way. I'm always more interested in this wonder of me than I am in finding reality, except for the times when I'm more interested in reality. So Ramana tells us, find ego. For whom? For whom is this desire for freedom? This is the who am I part in my transmission of this teaching. To me, there is, who am I and what am I? And they refer to two streams of Ramana's instruction. And the who am I part is the investigation into this ego thing, this personality, this not the personality itself, because that's beside the point. They're all screwed up. Doesn't matter what number they are, what form they are, they're all screwed up. But the essence of it, the heart of the matter, the ego as it arises from I, the ego as it takes birth in this moment from I, the speed of it. Trungpa Rinpoche, notorious Tibetan Buddhist Rinpoche, said once that the defining characteristic of ego is speed. Just like that, before you know it. Here it is. Ah. So that to catch it in the act of arising takes the patient stalking of a hunter. The willingness to sit quietly, watching, waiting for this beast to take shape, to kind of shake himself to life and come into consciousness. Because if you see this animal appearing, becoming, coming into being, then this cannot be you. And if you see it come into being and actually ramify and proliferate into the wondrous glory of complication and subtlety and nuance that you are, then you can't be mistaken about the fact that, yep, this is it. This is what I've always thought I was. And yet, I saw it come into existence. And yet, I see it die and be reborn, as the I thought. So Ramana suggests to us that whatever experience is within us that seems to be the essence of the hated ego, which by which I mean the neediness, the contraction, the anger, the left-outness, the isolation, the feeling of desperate lack. To find what feels like that, what feels like the hated one, the one that must go in order that I can be free. To find whatever it is, wherever it is to be found within you, and keep your eye on it steadfastly. Hold on to it with all your heart for as long as you can. That's what Ramana suggests to us in the second stream of his instruction about self-inquiry. Find ego. See it for what it is. See it come into being. See it pass away. See if anything needs to be done about it. Find it. I tell you from my experience, as I have told you this morning about the other stream of self-inquiry, I tell you from my experience that this is easy. It is not as easy as merely seeing the reality of what you are, but it is easy enough because as long as you are conscious and wanting to be free, you are here. Ego is here. As long as you have the sense within you that there's something missing, something that needs to be fixed, something that needs to be gotten or gotten rid of, ego is here. Sure as hell. No denying it. And as long as that's the case, and you're conscious of it, it's possible for you, I promise, although none of it's true. It's possible for you to find a sensational experience within you that feels like the problem. Look at it. Hold it. see what it is. See if you can see it move. See if you can see it vanish. See if you can see from whence it comes. Watch there for its reemergence. Keep your attention inward. And inward is, well, not outward. What else can be said about it? Keep your attention inward. Keep your attention looking for ego, looking for it, wondering where it is. What does it feel like? What's it taste like? Does it have substance? Is it located in the chest? Is it located in the head? Is it located in the stomach? Where? Where is it to be found? Keep it up. I promise that, just as I promise that if you will repeatedly keep your attention whenever you can on the reality of what you are, I promise that if, in addition to that, whenever you can, you keep your attention on hated ego, you will catch it in the act. I promise. It is very fast, but you will catch it in the act of arising like a speck of dirt from nothing. Quickly expanding, moving, ramifying, becoming all its conditions and branches and wants and dislikes and hatreds and desires and all moving, flowing outward like this, falling back into the silence, regathering, popping up again. And if when you catch that, you will forever be disabused of the idea that that is you. Ego is not a problem. Ego is a gift of grace in human consciousness. Ego is a gift. It is not a problem. Ego is the world, the universe, and everything in it. It is not a problem. It need not be eradicated. It need not be killed off, as so many spiritual traditions would have it. It need only be seen for what it is, which is not what I am. Not separate from me, but not my identity. And then its glory is apparent. Its wonder, its beauty, its the incredibleness of it is apparent. When I'm not trapped in the idea that it's me, and everything depends on it being right, then its beauty is clear. Then the idea that it has to be killed off or something has to be done to destroy it is hilarious. Absurd, ridiculous. So these are the two streams that I, in my viewpoint, from my point of view, the two streams of Ramana's teaching of self-inquiry. What they have in common is their simplicity and directness. They go right to the heart of the matter without, dancing around and all the good feelings and bad feelings and dark nights of the soul and oceanic consciousness and so forth. You'll have enough of that. You'll have way more of that than you want. All of that, good and bad. But Ramana is offering to us whichever stream of that is looked at is direct like an arrow to the heart, direct through all of the theories and desires and wishes and practices and meditations and affirmations and visualizations and trances and all of that. It's direct to the heart. Find the truth. See the truth. See what it is. How hard can it be? You are here. You are here. You have never been absent. Ego is here, always reappearing, always, always reappearing as me. How hard can it be to look directly at the essential nature of these, of this, this reality, this ego, this mind, this no mind? Wipe out the wrong idea of what you are by seeing the truth of what you are and the truth of what you believe yourself to be. Be finished with it. You will, I also pretty much guarantee, you will quickly lose interest in spiritual stuff, in spiritual reading, in spiritual poetry, in all the wonder and the drama of spiritual aspiration. That quickly falls away. It's done its job. It has fanned within you the flames of this desire for what's true. And then it's gone. No more. No need. The truth that you are is manifestly apparent. Needs no specialness to it. Needs no, oh my God, I'm awake and I'm realized. Oh my God, look at the birds. They are so wondrous. All is so wondrous. The ordinary is wondrous. And it already is. All the spiritual teachings are telling the truth. All the great, wondrous poetry and songs and shastras, they're all singing the truth. And they all are absolutely uninteresting when reality dawns. Be what you are. Be what you are. And how stupid it is to say something like that, right? I mean, really, how can any instruction be stupider than that? Be what you are. Be in the present. That's another dumb one. You cannot be other than you are. You cannot be. You cannot be other than present. That's not possible. All of that is obvious. All that remains is to know the truth. The ridiculousness of the spiritual utterance is obvious. What remains is to know the truth. I am what I am, says Popeye. I am what I am. What is that? What could be more interesting than that? What in the world possibly could be more interesting than to know what I am really? Not what the spiritual teachers tell me I am, not what the advertisers tell me I am, not what the gurus tell me I am, not what the church tells me I am, or the scientists tell me I am, or you tell me what I am. Or I tell you what you are, but what I am, really. What could be more interesting than that? What could be more wondrous than that? What could be more miraculous a use of human intellect than that? What payoff is required other than that? Okay? Anybody want to talk? Fight? Argue? Fuss? Mind you.
I from here, I just want to say I still love Rudy. Ha ha.
That's okay too.
And Shakespeare.
I like Shakespeare better than Rumi.
Is the study of the Enneagram just the study of the ego?
I'm not really qualified to talk about the Enneagram. I really don't have much experience with it other than the experience that I related the other night. Were you here?
Yeah. It just struck me like what Jane was saying sounded like what you were saying about watching it arising and getting it by the neck and walking.
The difference between that, you want to come up here so we can get this recorded in case somebody wants to hunt me down and and snuff me out?
It just struck me that that's what Jane was saying was helpful to her, was to identify it.
I'm not saying that the Enneagram isn't helpful to the ego mind. I think it probably is, okay? It's not self-inquiry. It's not. Self-inquiry is seeking the direct, immediate realization of what is here, whether it be ego or reality, or if they are the same. Self-inquiry is not the trying to figure out why things happen as they do and what can be done to make them better and why you do what you do because you're a, God knows what you are.
Five.
Because you're a five and I do what I'm doing because I'm a nine. That's not self-inquiry.
No,
I'm not saying it's bad or good. It's just not self-inquiry. And I have no qualification to talk about it, really, except what I said the other night.
No, I wasn't thinking that. I don't know much about it either. But I was just thinking from what Jane said that it sounded like the other thing that Ramana suggested,
but it
the
isn't.
Second thing, that this, the taking the ego and looking at it.
But it isn't, because Ramana isn't suggesting that we analyze the ego. Ramana is suggesting that we see directly what it is. Directly, without the mediation
of
knowledge, what it is. And
that's clearly different.
To me, yes, it's clearly different. And to me, the Enneagram is much more similar to what we always do, which is try to figure out why we do things and do them differently. And that's okay. I mean, you can't hurt yourself with it, but can't hurt yourself with psychoanalysis either.
Doesn't appear to me to be different than psychoanalysis or the horoscope or any number of things that are systems of categorizing one's neuroses.
Right.
Or.
Yeah. But you see, you can put them all in the same category of systems for categorizing the,
yes, they are.
The operations and the mechanizations of the ego. Yeah. So that wasn't so bad.
That was all I wanted to ask.
That wasn't so bad, huh?
Actually, John, I have been noticing something recently, and that is that...
I really like you to come up here, and the reason for that is because I can see your lips. I don't hear very good.
This was just an emergency measure.
And I also want everybody... I know, but and that's another reason why I want you to come up here. And the other reason is so everybody can see you. Jyoti.
Okay, I've noticed something that I'm not searching lately.
That's good news, huh?
I was wondering whether that's a downfall or a...
No, that's the good news. Do you feel unhappy to be not searching? Do you feel like you're missing something? Freedom, yes.
I feel freedom.
This is, hallelujah. Praise Jesus. This is the best news. This is the real confirming sign. When reality prevails, the need to search for anything disappears, and life is revealed in its ordinariness to be sweet.
Just very ordinary.
Very ordinary.
Just like very everybody. Sweet.
Nothing needs to be done about it. Nothing. Yes. That's it.
It's not
the payoff. And it doesn't sound like enlightenment, does it?
Not spectacular.
Right. But that's it. That's the finishing of the search. That's the great good news, is that the search is over. And
who am I? Is that over? Is that thing over, or is it going to reveal?
Are you suffering?
Oh, not the suffering. I mean,
if the suffering is over, the need to
continue. I wasn't talking about the suffering. What I'm talking about is the inquiry of who am I? I feel every day something new is revealed.
Yes, that's right.
Every day something
that's
new.
That's right, but it doesn't require searching to find it.
It doesn't, it just reveals
that's right.
on its own.
That's right. And is that any different from how it has been in the past, other than now you see it?
I just feel love, actually. That's what's revealed.
Yeah. And is that different from what was here in the past?
I couldn't see it before.
That's right. But it's not different, is it?
Like, I mean, I couldn't see it before. But it was there.
Yes, of course. It's you. It's you. It is. Is it love that requires that something be a certain way? No. Is it love that requires that something not be bad?
I get angry. Negative or...
Does love have a problem with any of that?
No.
That's you.
No.
That's what you are.
So that's what I want to do, actually. And I guess it'll be revealed as...
Yes, there's no end to you,
mm-hmm.
really. And, you know, when I say there's no end to you, what I am speaking of really is the way in which ego mind manifests. It is infinitely capable of producing infinite variety of experience and manifestation. It is the wonder of the world. You never change. This love without condition never changes. And yet, there is no end to what's revealed. There's no end to it. New, always new. Not spectacular, not, you know, big, but endlessly fresh, endlessly new. You don't need to search. It comes to you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
This is a great report.
Thank you.
Isn't that amazing? Yes, Andrew. That's the payoff. That's it right there.
How are you?
Hello, I'm well.
I've just got a couple of questions to ask you. I'm curious as to whether or not the realizations that you had have come through your inquiry into yourself, who am I? Or if you had the realization of the power of that from your realizations, that did they come first? And I'm also curious as to whether or not from the realizations that you've had, whether that was of consciousness or as consciousness.
my escape from the search for realization was a consequence of hearing as clearly as I could Ramana's instruction to find out the truth of what I was. If that's what you refer to as realization, it was really my escape from the search for realization, from the need for realization, something new. There is nothing that is not consciousness. There is no thought, no inclination, no desire, no aversion, no enemy, no friend, no lover, no realization, no desire that is apart from consciousness. Consciousness is the sum and substance of all things whatsoever. Does that answer that question?
I guess it does, but okay.
What are you?
What am I?
Yes.
I feel like I'm a product of consciousness.
Does that mean that you're separate from consciousness? One of its artifacts? It's kind of discarded in the glory of its becoming?
I feel like I'm just an aspect of consciousness. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I am consciousness itself, although part of me is.
Are you here?
Mm-hmm.
You know that?
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about that?
No doubt about that.
Where does that certainty come from? Is that an aspect of consciousness, an artifact?
Yes, I believe it is.
You believe it is? Does it change? Was it here? Is it here now and not here tomorrow?
It changes while I'm here. It doesn't change while I'm here.
And whenever you notice it, it's always the same. Steadfast.
Mm-hmm.
Unmoving. I say that's the source of consciousness. That's you.
Source of my consciousness, yeah.
No, it's you. It's the source of all. It's you. Now, this aspect of consciousness that seems to be you, where is it located?
Within consciousness itself.
No, I mean within you. Right now, where can you find it? Can you find it?
Well, I don't know. I believe that I can find it.
Well, look and see.
Mm-hmm. A couple of different things happens, I guess, the more I look. And the more I look, the more I disappear into that. And then I cannot locate myself at all.
So, the nature then of this aspect of consciousness, correct me if I'm wrongly paraphrasing you, the essence of this aspect of consciousness that you believe yourself to be is nothing but consciousness. Its separateness, its difference disappears when you look at it, etc.
I disappear when I look that deep.
Yeah. So, that's the result of your actual direct investigation.
Mm-hmm.
So, why would you doubt that and continue to assert that you are an aspect of consciousness, an artifact?
Well, only because as I come back, that I find my own experience of myself, I guess. That's why I question that.
And who is it that questions that?
The aspect, once again. It's not like it questions it, it's just more like my experience.
Right, I understand, but for whom is this experience? And your habitual way of answering that is an aspect of consciousness. And then I say, yes, but what is this in you actually? Can you find it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can go all on like that.
Yeah,
for a number of cycles, but we always end up in the same place, which is that this sense of separate I vanishes in the ocean of consciousness. So why bother to assert that it's different anytime? Mm-hmm. I mean, I agree that there is the experience of it being separate from consciousness and different from consciousness and so forth. But why bother to assert that as a fact when you already know from your own experience that it's not?
So then, not that there's an aim, but by deepening your experience of going into consciousness, that's a place where you start to lose sense of self, sense of myself. If I keep that inquiry up, that just...
Yes, then the reality that you have seen will permeate this ego consciousness that you believe to be separate from consciousness. And the belief structure that holds it separate from consciousness will vanish over time. Mm-hmm. And that will happen if you continue to investigate the feeling that you're separate from consciousness. It will also happen if you continue to investigate the reality of being here, mm-hmm. that you are. And that's what happens. That belief structure loses its support and just vanishes. And then, like Chayote, there's nothing really to look for except to enjoy life with its vicissitudes, its heartaches, its joys, its anger, its all of that. Because nothing is at stake here.
So a question that comes up for me from time to time, especially when I come and listen to someone like you speak then, and it's something I question myself as well, is why do all that to begin with?
Why what?
Why look for who I am and who I'm not?
There is no reason whatsoever for you to do so unless you're dissatisfied with your life. Mm-hmm. Unless you're conscious of a sense that does not go away of something that isn't quite fixed yet, is still missing. Apart from that, there's no reason whatsoever to question anything.
So have you, I don't know whether you even need to answer this, but have you found a space where you no longer need to inquire? Have you rested there?
I am at rest. It's just like Chayote. Same.
That's all I need. I think I'm done.
Just like you. We think that because life is so ordinary. We think that, or I suspect we often think, or maybe we don't consciously think, but there is this perception that life needs more juice than it has. It needs suffering. It needs lack and misery. It needs some heroic task to make it worthwhile. And the heroic task is to discover the truth. And when the call to that heroism arises within you, there is the possibility of answering it fully and stopping just for a second to see what you are, or turning it into another story of me. But it is that idea that life as it is, as it presents itself, is not enough. And as long as that idea is present and kind of nags at you, then you must find out what the truth is. There's nothing else that will do. Nothing else will satisfy. And when truth has its way with you, then life as it presents itself is perfectly fine, just as it is, and there is no need for heroism, for the heroic search. But when the need is there, be a hero. Don't half-step. Go right to the heart of the matter. What am I? I must know. Okay?
Okay.
Is that helpful?
Yeah, it was, actually.
Okay.
I'm not sure where, but I can feel
that's good. You don't have to know where.
Thanks.
I mean, ordinary life, as it presents itself, is a miracle, is it not? How can this be? How can this be? It's incomprehensible. Out of nothing comes this universe, this world, this ordinary life of getting up in the morning, shaving, eating breakfast, going to work, taking care of the children, doing things. Well, how can that be? Where'd that come from? Really? Anything else? Oh, Emily. Every time I see you, that song comes into my mind. Emily.
I didn't know that.
Huh?
I didn't know that happens to you.
I shouldn't have told you that. Hi.
Hi.
Are you feeling well physically?
No.
No? Is there something you can do about it?
I kind of have lost a lot of interest in doing so much about it.
Okay.
But when something comes up to do, I do it.
That's good.
Yeah. But I'm much better than we met.
Yes, I can see that.
Yeah. So, I wanted to just share a little bit about what you were just saying about this daily ordinariness. I've noticed that each time there's more depth of awareness, that at least in how it occurs for me, there's a period of reality kind of shaking and not even necessarily dramatically, but kind of in here, and mm-hmm. then I kind of get used to it, mm-hmm. the new
yes,
thing.
Right. New level.
And about 7 months ago, I don't know why, but this occurred again. There was a new opening. And I found quite amazingly to me in that many, many, many perceptions and stories fell away at once and have continued rapidly to do so. And what made this interesting at all to me was that about a month after that started to occur, I actually suddenly, this is very bizarre to me actually, suddenly got everything I wanted. And I'm talking about all the conditioned things I wanted. And it was very weird.
It is weird, isn't it?
It is totally weird. Mm. I achieved what I wanted in my career, was very satisfied with that. And I mean, all these things that we always want. You know, I got my perfect mate. I mean, really, like, he matched the list, you know. And numerous things were, it was actually very perfect timing for that to happen, because numerous things occurred for me in that. And one, this may sound a little strange to talk about, but it was very, very much caught my attention, this particular thing, is that I knew Andrew 3 years earlier. And when I met him at that time, it was one of those, oh, you know, Rumi. It was a Rumi poem. And it equally had just as much suffering.
Uh-huh.
And when he showed up, out of the blue, actually 3 years later, one of the things that was so interesting to me was, and this occurred in many other ways, but this is a very clear example to me, is that when I looked at him, I no longer thought he was handsome.
Yeah.
And it was even more weird because all the women around me do. And I'm having the same experience now being pregnant. There's many examples of this. There's all of this motion around me that it should be this, this, or this, that it will heal my body now, or that maybe I'll feel like crap and it'll kill me, or that I should be feeling love now, and all these maternal, I mean, it's amazing, really. And nothing's happening.
That's the truth. That's the truth. Neither Andrew, your soulmate, nor your pregnancy gives you anything or takes anything away from you.
Nothing.
That's the truth. That's the simple truth of it. That's
just nothing. And at first it was a little like, well, that's a little irritating.
Like, wow, I thought it's supposed to be different than this.
But again, as it settles.
But it's really sweet. I mean, really, it's sweet, is it not? Not to have all that.
I'm just in the edge of that. I mean, to be really honest about my experience of it, I'm on the edge of that, and I'm coming out of the... There was like, that's irritating, and then there was just kind of okay with it. And now it's I don't know, even sweet holds weight to me. Mm-hmm. All these words hold so much weight to me now that it's hard to even... I feel very, what I will say, I think, especially with being pregnant, which after 30 years of my health history is even more.
It surprised me to hear about
it.
Yes,
me too. is that many people start to use the word love and things like that about it. And, oh, well, even if you're not feeling that now, when you give birth, you will. I mean, you know... Who knows?
I mean, you know, there might be some biological trigger that occurs. That's to be expected.
Certainly.
But that's not the same as thinking that this new phenomenon is going to give you what you always wanted or going to deprive you of what you want.
Right.
It's not the same at all.
Right.
It is just what has appeared and therefore ordinary.
Right. Very ordinary.
Right.
And if anything... More than anything else, I just feel very not separate from, it's very hard to find words for this, but, well, from that, from just whatever this is, this life force or this thing that just keeps moving forward, and now it's another baby.
Yes, that's right. So there's no problem.
Yeah. So...
This is great good news, Emily. This really is. This is, you know, I've heard a couple of reports here today that are like, now this is an awakened being. This is an awakened being. This, Jyoti. This, Emily. This is what awakeness looks like. Ordinary. Ordinary. Nothing special. Nothing happening. Nothing happening. Not to deny all that is happening. But still, nothing happening. Untouched, unchanged. Well, this is great good news. I'm very happy to hear this from you, Emily. We've been together for a while on this.
It occurred to me it'd been at least 7.5 years about.
Yeah. You look good.
And I still thank you.
And I still am at your feet. Okay. I wondered how this would affect you, and I am really happy to hear this report. This is the best news of all. Nothing special. Just this miracle of life unfolding. Anybody else? I just want to reiterate the simple prior to all the hours of discussion and talk and play and so forth, the simple thing that I really want to offer to you, to leave with you. There is no problem anywhere in the world. There is nothing whatsoever that is a problem in the world. There's nothing whatsoever that's a problem in your mind, in your consciousness, in your ego, even. Nothing. There is no problem to be found anywhere. the belief that there is a problem arises with the belief that you are this story about yourself that creates the desperation to fix it, to solve it, to make it stay, to make it permanent, to make it clear, to make it true, to make true what cannot ever be made true. The nothing whatsoever that can come from preaching or reading or exposition, nothing whatsoever can rid you of that belief. It can only add to it, can only shore it up, or even serve as a substitute, a new belief. Nothing can rid you of that false belief about what you are, except to know the truth of what you are. This is all that I have to say. Nothing can solve this problem but the truth of what you are. And the truth of what you are is forever, absolutely, instantly accessible to you. It doesn't require that you become a saint. It doesn't require that you spend your life in some samadhi state sunk in the ocean of consciousness. It requires only that whenever you can, whenever it occurs to you, you rest your consciousness in this reality that makes it absolutely impossible for you to doubt your own existence. Just that. And that practice alone will absolutely eradicate this false belief. And the outcome of that will be an end to the suffering in your life. Will be the end to the belief. An end to the determination to find something different. And a revealing of the endless wonder and miracle that existence is, the incomprehensible miracle that it is to be human, to be alive, to be in relationship, to be here, to be angry, to be irritated, to want, to not want. That's what's revealed. Not an end to those things, but a revelation of their wonder and beauty, truly, in which nothing is at stake. Nothing. And what comes of that is an end to all the determination to kill off what you know must be gotten rid of in order for you to be what you want to be. You already are all that is. So just do this repeatedly when you can. Stop for 1 second and see what you are. See what it feels like to be. Just that. And everything else will be taken care of. Everything else. Continue with whatever you're doing. Stop whatever you're stopping. Just do this. This one thing. Whenever you can, repeatedly, stop. And rest your consciousness in this certainty of being that's always here. Okay? Okay. Thank you for this day together. Thank you for this satsang. I am at your service and at your feet in gratitude for the willingness that you show in these meetings. And for the help you give me in saying better what it is I want to say. Om Shanti. May all being know itself.